Okay, good morning. Today's class is Lushma Yurkmadan Mugdaya, Success in Yashma Lisheva Novakadil Visheva, Emmet Vilisheva, Shefa Balishev, Raina Makavatovasha, and Gadil Vilisheva. This class is also in the merit that we should have protection for our soldiers. May nobody die anymore. Hashem should protect us all, also bring the hostages home, etc. Today's class, there's a segula, there's a remedy on Tuesday of Parshas Haman to read Parshas Haman. It's been brought down by many Rabbi Rimanov, and it's a specific segula. And I specifically did this, I don't know, 12 years ago, I remember doing this. No, I don't know, 10 years ago. 10 years ago. And I actually got my business on the prayer that day. I remember praying for it in the morning, and I got the idea in the afternoon by phone call. So today's definitely a day to check in with. The heavens are open in this area of Parnassa, and it's definitely a day to check in. It's definitely a day to talk about Hizbul Didut and to build a vessel. We're going to talk about 14 things that I pretty much came up with. And again, I know people are billionaires, religious, non-religious. I know a lot of people. And there's certain things that are going to make you money and certain things are going to make you lose money. And we're going to talk about that. I want to talk about what is living in the man mentality. We're going to talk about also things that would take away. We also know that the spiritual source of money comes from mazla. So it really comes down undifferentiated. So some people have more mazla than others. So it doesn't matter. Sometimes you see religious observance of this or that. We have to get our heads out of that mindset. It doesn't mean, by the way, if you don't have bitachon, if you don't have any kind of spirituality with the money, then all you're worried about is losing it. So even if you have 20 million, 100 million, all you're worrying about is losing it. So it's not really, it's imagine being in a marriage with like Miss Venezuela or whatever, and all you're worrying about is her cheating on you. So that's not really enjoyable anyway. So it's not like you're not enjoying it anyway. But just having it and enjoying it and having it and feeling blessed instead of feeling stressed is a big difference. So that's extremely important. Some people have more mazel, and they've been given, and it's just like, you know, another person can eat more and they don't gain as much weight. Their metabolism is different. But your metabolism isn't. So you have to do a lot more to stay in shape. So again, it's very extremely important that money does come down from, there's a mazel concept also, that there's certain people that they're just blessed with it. The quality of life that they have is a whole different story. Because today you see a very a society of self-worth is net worth. You know, net worth is self-worth. You see it, I mean, you could see it on people's faces. This is why God says, the prophet, I will bless them lifnehem, before them based on the panim, their face. So it's extremely important to be happy. That remember, not all successful people are happy, but all happy people are successful. Don't forget that line, because it's a conscious thing. Okay. So the first thing we're going to talk about from Rabbi Nachman's book advice, and we're also going to talk about in the Parsha of the week. So he's saying here, the number one thing you need to understand is money is a test, and if you look at it just right away, the pasuk says, God said to Moshe, behold, I am raining down for you bread from heaven. Let the people go out and gather it and see for each day, so I can test them to see if they will follow my Torah or not. So right away, money is a test. I saw this black and white in my life. Money is a test. Emunah. Manhu. They said, what is this? Mahu. What is this? They didn't understand what it was. Mahu, emunah. The word manhu is emunah. So the concept of emunah, there's certain things that it's beyond your logic. Anytime we're talking about manhu emunah, we're talking about beyond irrational thinking. Beyond, get the rational mind. Doesn't mean that you have to do this to make. Another thing I want to disclose also, there's a, you can live a life also of divine providence. Also, you can live a life of teva. If you live a life of teva, then you deal with the rules of the world. Then you don't get the divine providence, but if you are the best banker, it's a good chance you're going to make the best money. Or if you're the best this is what you're going to be. So you're living in those rules. We're talking about here where we're able to live in divine providence. So the first thing you need to understand is money is a test. And what Reb Nathan tells us here is because one's livelihood comes from a very lofty place, right? A person is tested in many ways to see if he will conduct his business or use his earnings in a proper manner. In the desert, the Jews were tested daily to see if they would pray to God for their sustenance, their manna. Even after the manna fell down to the ground, they were tested to see if they would preserve some for the next day. Did they believe in the constant flow, or they believed they were worried about losing it? And that's one of the things that worry can make you lose money today. And if you don't change your, we're going to talk about, you need to change your relationship to money. Just like you need to change your relationship to food. If you don't change your relationship to food, you will not lose weight. If you don't change your relationship to money, you're looking at money as, oh, it's negative, it's sadness, it's depression. God is tight with me. All he's doing is withholding. He's stingy with me. And if you're sad because of that, and you're living in a cartoon. But this is your mentality. This has nothing to do with God. The light from God comes undifferentiated. You have to make the appropriate vessel. It's your job to make the appropriate vessel. I went very deep in these concepts. Because if you get the wealth mindset, that's why the poor get poorer and the rich get richer. Because there's a mindset related to that. You understand? There's a mindset related to this. And it's extremely important to understand that. The manna teaches us that each day has its own blessing. And every single blessing has its day. So don't think because yesterday you didn't make it, today you didn't make it. Most of us, what we do is we bring old stuff in new relationships. We bring old garbage into new days. You know, a lot of, you know, they used to have coaches to teach people. If a guy made a bad trade, what did they do? They had to bring in a coach to teach him, hey, you start trading again. Because people are stuck on fear of failure. Once you have failure, it stays with you, and you're afraid to pull the trigger again. But remember, we've said this 1,000 times. Darkness becomes before light. You will always have a contraction before a light. I mean, I remember, you know, 4 years ago, my wife coming in and firing 90% of the company, ultimate breaking of the vessel to the T. But that led to where we are today. So, you know, just like a team goes, you know, they become a dynasty. Next thing you know, they become garbage. Next thing you know, they're in the draft pick. And then next thing you know, they build a dynasty. This is the ways of the world. So the same thing with businesses. You have to understand that it's a constant wave sometimes. Don't let success get to your head. And don't let failure get to your heart. Remember those two concepts. So again, number two, every day has its own blessing. You know, I remember getting the phone call for that particular deal. It was like at 3:30 in the afternoon. And that phone call changed a lot of the things in my life today. But I could have been in a crappy mood and not picked up the phone. And the deal would have never come. How many times are you in a bad mood and you don't pick up the phone because when you should be picking up the phone? Right, you pick up the phone for the telemarketer, but you don't pick up the phone when the real deal is coming. See, everything's crossed in life. So get your mood out of the way. And I'm saying this personally because I've had to work on my mood tremendously with meditation. But get your mood out of the way. Don't let the stock market and this affect your mood constantly, because what happens is you don't believe in the constant recreation of the world. So being depressed from yesterday into a new today is you do not believe in the recreation of the world, which is a form of idolatry, which is a form of lack of faith, and it's living in a world of lack. Living in a world of lack. Number three, this is a big one. Mazal motzi zeh levatala, your moral purity. I cannot tell you how important the sexual purity and parnasa is connected and kabbalistically. It's the yisod. The one thing I read from Rav Nachman, it says sexual impurity will lead you to poverty. So that's when I said, oh, no, I'm not becoming poor. So I became a Baal Teshuva because I didn't want to be broke. So that's my story, I'm going to be honest with you. And I said, and then after that, you know, Rav Nachman's light came in. But the first intention was, there's no way I'm going to be broke. Absolutely not. If this is what's causing me to be broke, see you later. Cut. All the phone numbers were erased. I don't even know who you are. I looked at them as a bankruptcy. I looked at them as a toxic asset. So today, we're trying to motivate people. 40 days, I don't know what you want. I mean, I don't understand. Do you want to be broke? Do you want to live in feminine energy? Do you want to, you know, estrogen in your life? Or do you want testosterone and live like a man? I don't understand the question today. But you need to get a grip that anytime you're doing these things, unfortunately, you're causing feminine energy. You're growing estrogen. I mean, imagine going to the gym with estrogen. I mean, it's giving people soy, everything soy. That's what happens. So when you are connected to the feminine energy, which is coming from sadness, which is coming from lack of belief, you develop, you can't draw Shefa because you're running away from life. And that's an area where you have to recognize sadness leads to promiscuity. So both are connected. Gambling, very simple. Gambling, you start obsessing over money. You don't make it. You get upset about it and you go lose yourself. And this is what a lot of Shefa is supposed to come, and it's not coming because of this issue. So I can give you 1,000 sources. And how do we know this in the Parshas Haman? The tzaddikim, the man came right to their door. The people who unfortunately had immorality, they had to search for it. They had to work much harder for it. So it's extremely important that we have to get a grip on this. This is an area why, again, the reason why is because it's masculine energy. You're keeping the yesod. Yesod is Kabbalistically the last sphere before Malchut. And that is the pipeline. That is the where everything gathers. All the Shefa gathers at Yesod and it goes into Malchut. This is not my chidush. Just the only thing is Rabbi Nachman drills it in your face all day long. In other sectors, don't drill it. Rabbi Nachman drills it all day long in your face. So, okay, what are you going to do? Either you're in or you're out. So he gives you so much leverage on saying, you know, what my life could be with it, what my life could not be with it. And what is it? What is Pegama Bris? Pegama Bris is also connected. Is Nida is a form. Not keeping Nida is a form of Pegama Bris. Using condoms is a form of Pegama Bris. Even if you're married. There's a lot of things. There's a lot of things. God forbid, masturbate. All of these things, it's a form of Pegama Bris. And again, because you are not, there's no receiver. There's only a taker. So it's the same thing with, you know, same-sex relationships. There's no giver and taker. There's no receiver at the end. It's just both getting satisfaction, and there's no receiver. Where our job is to develop the Shefa and then send and let it send it to the receiver, etc. So that's why immorality is such an issue. Because you're basically running away from that area. And it is the biggest test. But again, the reward is you get wealth. You get Shefa out of it. And when that area is broken, unfortunately, it causes, I can't tell you how many problems that causes. And Rav Nachman tells us very simple, that the people, where people fall the heaviest in life is when they fall into depression for money. So he tells us the depression for money goes directly after depression for money is the depression for this issue. So just understand it, that if you save yourself from the depression for money issue and you recognize you have a good relationship with it, you'll be saved from this other relationship. I can give you 1,000 sources of this, but you have to get a grip on this. I mean, you have to get a grip on this. That's why when you fix this, what happens? The wife comes, because now you can give. You understand why the people cannot find their soulmates when they have this issue? Of course not, because why would you, you know, it's like go to bankruptcy court to find somebody. Why can't they find it? Because there's nothing to give. What are you going to give me? Nothing. You have two takers, and two takers is a disaster. So a giver and a taker. But when there's two takers, it's just a disaster. Number four, I'm not selling you anything. So you like it, you don't like it. That's also wonderful also. So this, again, I'm not selling you a package. I'm not selling you subscriptions. There's nothing to say. This is straight from Rabbi Nachman. You like it, you don't like it. Don't take it personal. Just make the adjustment. That's what I did when I saw this. And I was completely not only lost, but broke and confused and just lost. And I said, uh-oh, I'm not going to be broke. End of story. And that, like a Scorpio does, you put the goal on the target, he will hit it. You just have to make sure you get enough intensity. Number four, the greater the dot, Rav Nachman says, the greater the dot, the easier it is for you to earn a living. What does that mean? To the extent that the more you expand your consciousness and you live, what is expansion of consciousness? Living with joy and bitachon, living with joy and trust. Not bitachon, bitachon, okay? Even though Bitcoin's doing good, I'm not in that world. But exactly, you have to. Bitcoin. We just saw the movie Bitcoin. That stuff I have no idea about. I don't. If I don't understand it, I don't invest in it. But again, that doesn't mean it's not good. But bitachon is really the best one that will never go down. Bitcoin could go down. So you see the difference. The greater the dot, the easier it is for you to earn a living, right? Because what happens is if you have, on a conscious level, you know where the bread from heaven is coming from, then you are able to attract it, not chase after. Chasing after anything. Remember, we said this concept, wow, right? Worry, obsess, and withhold. When you are worried and obsessed and withhold about something, you're coming from a very low consciousness. When I worry about something, I'm coming from fear. When I obsess, I'm coming from pride, right? When I'm withholding, I'm also coming from fear of not having it. So the importance of expanding your consciousness. When we learn Torah, we expand our consciousness. We're able to release and let things come to us versus chasing after them. This is another reason why in the desert, what happens is the shatuham, they strolled around looking for man on Shabbat. The store was closed. There's nothing there. And they strolled around looking for it. What are you looking for? There's nothing there. There's nothing there. So they had the Ruach Shtut. They didn't believe that God could send them on Shabbat for 2 days. So they were strolling around. Ruach Shtut. So sometimes you're chasing after money is Ruach Shtut. It's a Ruach Shtut. It's a spirit of stupidness. Maybe you saw a YouTube video. You got excited about some guy's, you know, YouTube video. And next thing you know, what do I need Shabbat? I need to make more money. 24/7. Let's go. 24/7. That does not work in the spiritual world. You got to kill yourself. Well, 24 hours. I didn't sleep for 5 days. That does not work for the spiritual world. It's not the way you want to live either. That's too much tava of mammon. It's not a healthy lifestyle, because at the end of the day, what do you get? You know, Andrew Tate, what happened to him at the end of the day? That's not how you want to live. You want to live with things come to you with ease, building your consciousness. It's not about get rich or die trying, which is, again, that's the society that's being sold to you today. Get rich or die trying. And you'll end up die trying at the end of the day. Because you don't, even if you have it, and if you don't enjoy it, if there's no pleasure, you'll just run after another target, etc. So you have to be able to be happy with what you have and give it away. And then more will come to you. But of course, you do have to set a decoy, like we said before. You do have to set a business. You have to set a decoy. So God doesn't like to use miraculous nature to provide parnassa for a person. He has to use a bit. He has to have an appropriate business. He has a proper thing. And then it can come to him. In the desert, manna was sent down daily so the people would look up towards God for their livelihood. Their looking up drew a direct light. And then what happens? And a reflected light came up. So basically, when you look up, there's a reflected light that comes down. And that's why we say, Potech et yadecha umasbech l'chol ratzon. We say this every time when we say Ashrei, we look up, and then looking up, right, creates a light, and then it comes down, and you receive it. Sephardics, if you want to see this, go to a Persian synagogue. Go to a nice Potech Es Yadecha or a Syrian synagogue. They'll show it to you in 3D. You know, hands up and all that. So it's extremely important. I don't know if that's the Kavanot, but that's a whole different story. But it's looking up and looking down is the key. Number five, don't hoard it. Hoarding, obsessing with it is not a good spiritual thing, because that means you're lacking it. Okay, if I'm obsessing with somebody, if I'm obsessing about something, right, it means that I don't either, I myself feel less of a person, and I think that, again, self-worth is net worth. Don't obsess about it, because obsessing about it causes you to hoard it, and when you hoard it, you're not giving it away. You're not giving it away. Reb Nachman tells us your face, lepanim, lefnehem, your face. If you have simcha, you're connected to the light of Torah. You're connected to the light. If you lack it, that means you're connected to a dark side. And it's something we all have to train. We have rough days in business. There's days that are challenging. There's no question about it. But you don't bring it home with you. Don't let it ruin your shalom bayit. Don't let it ruin your marriage. Don't let it all of a sudden treat your kids the wrong way because you had a bad day at work. You understand? You need to get a grip on that thing. Because at the end of the day, all money makes you is more of what you are. So if you're a great guy, money will just make you a great guy and you'll be able to be a big giver. But if you're a scumbag, it just will give you more a bigger scumbag. So it's not necessarily good in heaven to make you a bigger scumbag. So they'd rather not give it to you. or a bigger lowlife. You understand? So it's extremely, money just makes you expansive, expands who you are. So if you have a good output and you're giving tzedakah and you're giving to good places and it'll do good for the world, there's no problem for it to come to you. But if that money will come, it will actually cause negativity in the world. Then there might be a reason why it shouldn't give it to you. Because if it gives it to you in the wrong time, it can cause a distraction. It can cause a disaster. And that's what we always have to build the vessel, not focus on the light. Number six, shalom bayit. Shalom bayit is a huge, huge, huge parnasa thing. The ultimate curse was that man should rule over a woman. But what happens is when a person has shalom bayit, he doesn't impose on his wife, then God doesn't impose on him the curse of making a living. So shalom bayit, happy wife, happy life. Yes, it is true. Another reason why is because when you have peace, the shefa, the Gemara says that the parnasa comes from the wife. What does it mean? From the wife's the nefesh of her soul. That means she has a nefesh of her soul. So when he lights up the soul, when there's peace, he gets the bounce back of the money. He gets the light back. He gets the light back. So just like when you give, the reward for giving is really you get you feel connected. So same thing when you have shalom bayit, that allows you to have peace. Our sages tell us that one blessing, one fight pushes away 100 opportunities. So you have to recognize, I mean, I can't tell you what's going on in the disaster in Israel is happening. We all see that. How much opportunities are we losing because of all of this? Look what happens when you don't have unity. All the casualties are taken. Look how many people are taking a hit for lack of unity. Look at how many people are taking a hit for lack of unity. So the same thing, people in your own home, you have shalom bayit, you have unity, you have parnas, you have peace. And that's extremely important. Because fighting strife causes poverty. It says, Rav Nachman says here, worthless pursuits, malicious gossip can only lead to poverty. Pride also makes you have poverty. The remedy is to give tzedakah. So you have to, again, peace, focus on the peace. She's the feminine. Remember, it's one soul. Male aspect, feminine aspect. The feminine aspect is where the shefa comes down. Everything that shefa comes down, not from the right, from the left. The same place the left is where. The left also is where anger comes from. The left is where gold comes from. The left is where the feminine energy. So we have to go into the left and bring it back into the right. Very complicated concept, but if you understand it, just be nice and you'll be more successful because she'll shine the light back to you. And remember, she's Bina, your Chachma, so sometimes her intuition will help you save, Rav Nachman says in Lesson 69, that her intuition will save you from bad people, from people that are trying to steal from you. Even though you can't see it, her intuition will she'll be able to see it. She has that intuition because she feels like somebody's trying to rob her. Even though nobody's robbing her, he's robbing the husband, she feels, because it's the same soul, that he's also robbing me. So she that's why it's extremely important. The Gemara says, if your wife is short, bend down and listen to her. That means listen to her advice on business manners. Even though she has no idea about the industry, she does have an intuition, etc. Extremely important. Christina will not do that for you. So you need a nice Jewish wife to do that for you. I'm sorry, etc. You lose your intuition. You lose the reception if you're with the wrong girl. I'm going to tell you the truth. You'll lose the reception. So there's a price. Shalom bayit is not easy, but you do get intuition, reception, etc., and mother of your kids, etc. So that's why it's extremely important that those concepts. Number seven, trust. Obviously, trust is what creates the vessel. Just like we said, bitachon is the most important thing. And again, I can't express this enough to you. The inaction is worse than any action. It's better that you should take some kind of action in your life because action means trust and then learn on the way than have no inaction. Inaction is the ultimate. When you have inaction in your life, that means fear. It's fear. It's fear-based. Anytime you're not taking action, it's because there's a fear. But even if you take action in a business deal and you don't succeed, you'll get the experience and you'll eventually succeed versus not taking any action because of you're afraid of losing. That is the worst thing you could do. If you want to look at the Ray Dalio's book, he talks about that the most successful people spend more time getting going and learning on the way versus thinking about getting going and getting on the way. They just shoot. They just get going. You know, fail fast, fail often is the same concept because the vessel has to be broken stronger. So that's an area you need to pull the trigger. Stop thinking about getting going, get going, and you'll learn on the way. That's it. There's nothing bad. It's just a lesson. You will learn on the way. And the worst thing, like I said, is not to take action because you'll never learn. And yes, you might not fail, but you're never going to get the lesson, the experience, and you're never going to get the success either. So that's an area where you have to pull the trigger. And you could see sometimes, you see these Israelis coming to America. They don't care about the leases. They just go. And then they're making it. It's incredible the amount of trouble. They don't even know, can't even speak English. They open up a store in the middle of nowhere, $100,000 lease. But it's because the bitachon causes the success. It's not the business that causes success. It's the bitachon that causes it. It's the trust in God that causes the success. I've done this many, many times in my life. I said, I will take action one way or another. I will learn. Either you win or you learn. But eventually you do win because through the experience, you will win. Number 8, extremely important one. You need to take responsibility, not shrink responsibility. Taking responsibility means also taking responsibility on life. Responsibility Kabbalistically represents the malchut. The more you run away from responsibility, the more Shefa will run away from you. Responsibility means you have to be a man. Again, I hate to tell people you have to be a man. Yes, you have to take responsibility. Just because there's pain in life, the avoidance of responsibility, addictions, avoiding life is terrible. Avoiding to get married, that's a problem. Because Shefa comes down on, if you look at Rav Nachman Lesson 10, that when a person signs a contract, I will take responsibility, I will this. Nobody reads the contract, by the way. That's the problem. Nobody reads, I will take responsibility, I will, blah, blah, blah. I don't even know what it says anymore. But long time since I signed that contract. That allows you to take, also responsibility means responsible. You're responsible for your soul. Taking responsibility versus running away from responsibility. So the Gemara says, late morning sleep, midday wine, and children's chatter will remove you from this world. Because you're not checking in. You need to check in. You need to take some kind of aggressiveness in life and check in. And that's why, what is aggressive means? Ratzon. You can't be a guy who, you know, I'll wake up when my body feels like I need to wake up. Again, you need to expand. Expand. Take responsibility. That's a big thing Kabbalistically, expanding responsibility. Having kids. People are afraid to have kids because they're afraid they're not going to have money for the kids. This is all society's craziness that you've bought into. You bought into a program of nonsense. You bought into a program of fear, and you're listening to the Chachamim in Instagram or wherever you're listening to. Get out of that world quickly and listen to the podcast who have nothing to tell you, and you will succeed. Get out of that world of people are in the world of delusion, of all this misinformation that we have today. It's extremely important that take responsibility in your life. That means looking to get married. You're 20-something. Look to get married. I need to have fun for 5 years first. What are you celebrating? What are you celebrating? So there's a level of fun, and too much fun is avoids responsibility. It's extremely important to take responsibility in your life. Number 9. Obviously, change your relationship. Surrender any form of negativity about money that you have. Because remember, where does money come? It comes from the same place as the soul. This is why people love money, people with money, because they have a very high, the place where they come from is very high. Money comes from a very, very high place. A very high place. Spiritually. The source on high, it comes from a very, very high place. That's why everybody craves it. So if you have a negative aspect, negative belief about money, so you could diminish that concept. You understand? If you have a negative, for example, let's say you grew up in a divorced home and you grew up with your parents, you know, they fought each other, you know, they were fighting a lot. You know, you can't bring that relationship about, if you don't clear that relationship, these subconscious things. It could show up in your new relationships. So there's a lot of limited beliefs that are connected about money. You have to get rid of any limited beliefs or any negativity about money. You got to look at money as good. You got to look at money as good. People say, oh, money is evil. Rich people have money. This is all jealousy, negativity, etc. Clear all conscious beliefs. I think David Hawkins has a great chapter. That and don't look at your father as abundant. Don't look at your father as a stingy who can't even pay your bills. This is all in your head. You understand? It's all in your head. I cannot tell it to you enough. It is all in your head. Get any negative belief about, just like get any negativity about relationships out of your head. If you anything else, get negative, you want to exercise. Get any negative things about exercise, such as I'm going to be tired, I'm going to be sore. Of course you're not going to work out because there's negativity there. Clear out the negativity and then things will flow to you. It's that simple. But many of us have a very, very, we wake up worried, we wake up tired, we wake up exhausted. We're already predicting the day, the heaviness of the day, because you're going in there with that negativity. You're going in there with the negativity. Number 10. The early bird gets the worm. Early bird gets the worm. Reb Nachman says the key, one of the keys to wealth is extension of the day. Lengthening your day. Making your day longer. So, obviously, you want to wake up earlier. You want to check in spiritually. Not wake up, tired with a coffee, and your Instagram. That's not going to bring you well. You're just watching everybody else. You see, that's the difference. You have to ask yourself, do you want to be the player in the stadium or do you want to be the fan in the stadium in life? That's the question you have to ask yourself. Do I want to watch? Do I want to be a fan or do I want to be the player in the game? You'll be a fan if you don't wake up earlier. You'll be the player if you start approaching life. Why? Because waking up earlier, it's connected to the light of Keter. It's extension of the day. Abraham was very old in his days. He had long days, lengthened days. The more we lengthen the day, the more we lengthen our breath, the more we lengthen our consciousness, the more we're connected to the Keter, which is the source of Shefa. The more we shorten the day, shortness of day, reactive, tired, fearful, anxious, depressed, there's no breath, there's no length. So all you're going to see the world that way. So it's extremely morning. Do get out of that funk in the early morning. So when you're already in, here we start a class. We start days 4 o'clock in the morning, whatever. We start a class, and I'm in a very expansive state. There's an expansive state right now. There's no contractive right now. So obviously, when I'm going to go into business, I'm going to see expansions. I'm not going to see contractions. Even though there's problems, so we look at problems as temporary contractions. Temporary contractions of something much greater. People look at me like I'm absolutely nuts talking this language, but it works 1,000%, okay? It works 1,000% because I look at everything on a conscious level. I'm not looking at the details. I'm looking at the energy behind it, the consciousness behind what I'm doing. You understand? You have a problem in your life. If you look, if you focus on the consciousness, am I addressing this problem through faith or am I addressing this problem through fear? Who cares about the details? The details are just there to test you. How are you dealing with the issue? How are you dealing with this issue? So it's extremely important to understand that. Number 11. Stay in your lane. Jealousy is coveting. When you're coveting, everybody forgot about the 10th commandment. When you are jealous of somebody, you're blocking your own blessing. You cannot be in a wealth mindset and be jealous. Because that means you have, all jealousy is constipated motivation, inspiration. It's blocked. That means you want it, but you don't know where to put it. So jealousy is just blockage. It's blocked energy. It's all it is. And what that does, jealousy, is number one, you're telling God he doesn't know what he's doing. That doesn't really work that much, by the way. God, you don't know what you're doing. You're blessing him and not me. I don't know. What are you doing? So that's obviously going to get you absolutely nowhere. Okay? That's what you're doing. Second, you're putting an iron. You want the other person to lose. So, okay. Now, genius. So first you're questioning God, and then you want your friend to lose. How are you going to attract money to that amitza? Explain to me how terrible that is. So what do you think coveting is? Coveting is like stealing. Rav Nachman says coveting is like stealing, because you want to steal something from them. It's a bad eye. It's a bad eye. And that comes, again, the reason why I'm doing these classes is to educate people, to make people better, so they should be successful, so they should make other people successful, and that will lead to the greater good for everybody. But when we don't have the greater good for everybody, when we have jealous people, evil, fighting, all we do, what do we get? We get destruction in our lives. So this is extremely important. It's not enough to teach a person how to fish. Give the person the tools on how to draw down his own shefa. So it's great. Everybody should have shefa. Everybody should have shefa. Stay in your lane. Don't be jealous. And if you have a hard time with this, pray. Pray. It's because you're not looking at the world the right way. You're looking through the eye of Bilam. You don't have a good eye. Yosef HaTzadik saw a good eye. And again, the way to prevent jealousy and the way to prevent it is very simple. You get a compliment, you get everything. Because remember, jealousy awakes. Jealousy, if you're showing off something, what happens is that awakens a lack in somebody else. Do you understand? That they'll see a lack in themselves, and then they'll bring negative energy. So you don't want to be exposed and put this to, trial sample, because yes, it will harm you, because you're waking up harm in others, lacks in others. And then the question, why should you have it? And if you take the blessing to your head, then it can affect you. But if you don't take the effect to your head, it cannot affect you. It cannot affect you. Number 13. 12 or 13, I don't remember.
12.
Money and anger come from the same source. We just said about the same source, the left. Gevura, there's a right side of Kabbalah, there's a left side. Gevura, gold, anger, which is Gevura, come from the same source. So before you get tested with money, you will be tested with anger. And again, the issue with anger is control. So if you're a controlling person, you're going to have an issue with anger. You're going to have an issue with anger, and you're going to have an issue with money. If you live with trust, you'll be able to give it up to God. And when things come, you will not seek to control it. But if you have an issue with control, you're pretty much going to get every one of these symptoms. Because it's not, remember, if we look at the dollar bill, all you have to look is the dollar bill. Isn't that funny how the answer it's in the money. In God we trust. Look at that. At least America did something right. In God we trust. Look at a dollar bill. The segula for money is to look at the dollar bill and look what it says. In God we trust. Nobody even looks at the details. Somehow they put the segula for money, in God we trust. It's right there. So the more bitachon you have, the more trust you have, the less likely you will have to control. Controlling is also a fear. Remember, it's all either you're trusting or you're fearful. Fear is control. The fact that I'm controlling, so that I have a deep fear that something's going it's going to go away. So you think to overcompensate the fear by over controlling is going to help? No, it doesn't. It causes you to have nothing but nightmares in your head. So you have to let go. Let go and let God. Let go and let God. How many times have we said let go in this class already? Right? Every day. Good morning, everybody. What are we letting go today? That should be that's how we should start the class. It's because we you understand, somehow we think we have to control. It's the biggest illusion in the world. You might have to read Letting Go book 10 times. You might have to read that book 10 times just to understand the letting go concept. Stop controlling. And the last one is Shabbat. Shabbat, obviously, Shabbat is a double portion, because the whole point of Shabbat is you're free. Everything's going to come to you. It's your relationship with God saying, I'm free. I don't have to do anything. That's why we're not allowed to work on Shabbat, is because it's not about doing anything. It's about receiving. Shabbat is ultimate freedom. Our sages tell us that the 7 days of the week are blessed on the count of Shabbat. Shabbat gives the blessing for the 7 days of the week. So if you're having an issue with Shabbat, again, the whole purpose of all of these laws is not to enslave you. it's to make you free. The people think they're being enslaved by keeping Shabbat. I can't do nothing. I can't be on my phone. The fact that you need your phone every second, the fact that you need to always go somewhere, and you can't be still in the moment and just be in a state of being instead of a state of having, that means you're not free. God wants us to be free. But it looks like everything you're doing is opposite. No, you want to trap me. I can't do this. I can't do this. We all need to shuffle the deck sometimes. When you're going through tough times in life, it's time to shuffle the deck. When you're getting a couple bad hands, you have to shuffle the way you're thinking. Shuffle the deck means change the way you're thinking. And I've made these changes in my own life, where I've seen, okay, why am I in such a negative state? Control issue. Why am I in this state? Oh, I don't believe in recreation of the day. So I make the appropriate, what negativity does is it lets you diagnose the problem, which is actually very good. So you don't want to be upset at negativity either, because negativity is just showing you, it allows you to diagnose what's going on. It's good, because if you don't have negativity, how do you diagnose it? So, but when we get negativity, I don't want to deal with negativity. I don't want to get, I'm in pain. Hello, yoo-hoo. Let pain teach you something. We're running everything negative. I don't want to deal with it. I can't have it. No. You have to learn from these things. You have to learn from negativity. You have to learn from everything. It's today, toxic, bye, see ya, talk, no good. Learn. That is, you know what, when you're doing that, all you're looking at is the klipa in the situation. All you're looking at is the exterior. You're not looking at the essence of the situation. No good. This is today's society. Now, everybody's looking at the exterior of the problem. Nobody's looking at the essence of the problem. So we look at everything as bad. This is bad. No. Everything has good. It's just a klipa. You understand? Everything just has a shell that you have to remove. There's good in everything, but you have to remove the shell. Even in business issues, there's a good in everything. You just have to remove the shell. So may Hashem bless us all, that everybody should be very wealthy.
Amen.
And should be givers. Amen. And we should all never look at each other's success and be upset about it, God forbid, or talk about them, or question them, and be, all you are is, when you're talking bad about somebody and questioning their success, all you're doing is you're being partners with the Satan. So you're being partners with the Satan, on prosecuting the person. So you think of how good that's going to do for you. I don't know, that's such a good business partner. Maybe write it on your taxes. You know, give him a 10K. Give him a partnership agreement. But yes, negatively, it brings a negative signal. It brings a negative signal because you're not in your own lane, but you're questioning why other people have it. And I'm going to give you one last chiddush. Rav Nachman says in his book Wisdom that just like you see undercover sting operations, and he says it black and white, this is not my, I'm just giving you a different language. He says what happens is the Satan himself has a lot of money. Heaven allows him to give money. Why? Because he allows us to test. And what he does is he'll give a person who's not worthy a lot of money. Because he knows that if he gives this person a lot of money, he'll be able to get 20 guys to go down. Right? Because this guy, why do I need to look at this guy? He's doing everything. He's not spiritual. He's not doing anything. He's not keeping Shabbat. This is the, what is your business? What do you keep? But what happens, he'll invest in that guy, and that guy will take down 30 people. Because he's a Rasha, he's receiving, he's doing great, and you're trying, you're not receiving nothing, you fall into the trap. So doesn't mean because people have wealth that it's coming from a good place. It could be coming from a very bad place. So when you're connected to that, you're basically connected to that negative energy. So again, stay in your lane. 1,000 times. When it comes to money, stay in your lane. Your lane. Nobody else's lane. This is exactly what's happening in society today. We're not looking at the right lane. May Hashem bless everybody that we should all have. Again, today is a good day to read Parshas Haman. It's a segula, but again, not just read it. Live it. Live what Parshas Haman means. Not just, and the next thing you don't go, you know, you're back to the same person again. These words have to go into you consciously. God sends blessing every single day. Do we really walk around in our offices saying, today will never be the same. No. Get there. Do you really walk around with that fresh energy? I know some of my businesses, I'm not as excited anymore. So I don't have that energy I used to, but some of them I am excited about. And you can see the difference in the energy on two businesses. Because you need, energy requires a lot of effort. You know, just like you have a beautiful flower, you have a beautiful thing, it requires a lot of effort, energy. It's not just going to show up. Because what happens, negative energy will show up. So if you want a really positive, you really need to inject a lot of positive energy into things for it to work. Have a great day.